I'm Afshin Ratansi, and welcome back to Going Underground, broadcasting all around the world from the UAE. What do you think is most likely to destroy humanity? Elite power, yes, but through NATO expansionism, nuclear war, pandemics, climate change, or something else? For years, futurists, scientists, filmmakers, and novelists have warned how a superintelligence AI could become the biggest threat to humanity. And now, just a narrow elite controls the accelerating AI race. How long before their robots take over the Earth? And does anyone even comprehend what they'll be capable of? Here to tell us why the advancement of AI is riskier than Russian roulette is Professor Roman Yampolsky. He's Associate Professor of Computer Science and Director of the Cybersecurity Laboratory at the University of Louisville, Kentucky, where he joins me from, and he's the author of the new book, AI, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable. Thank you so much, Professor Yampolsky, for coming on. I've got to say, this intro I just did, we're more dangerous than any AI presenter of Going Underground. We're a dangerous program. But we better start off, given the book clearly defines so many different concepts, with the most basic definition, I guess. What is AI? What's AGI?
So AI is just the old name for our desire to create replacement for human minds. Something capable of doing physical labor, cognitive labor, think like a person, think instead of a person. AGI is explicitly talking about it being general. So not just a narrow domain system, only plays chess, only drives a car, but anything a human can do, those systems would be able to do.
I do want to get into some of these concepts, but I mean, we know the threats, ironically, of regional war in the Middle East over recent months came from a failure of UK, US, EU-armed Israeli AI to cope with an attack on October the 7th and the failure of AI surveillance. So it almost seems odd to be talking about the dangers of AI being super intelligent and its potential to do harm, given it's the potential to screw up and not do well that is clearly affecting this region.
There are many dangers. So obviously, narrow AI systems we have right now can fail and cause problems. That's the whole notion of cybersecurity failures. But once they become more capable than humans, you have much bigger problems, problems we don't know how to address.
And fundamental here is the AI control problem that you talk about in AI, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable. What is that?
So even the people who create those systems don't fully understand how they work. They cannot predict what they do, and they cannot in advance control their behaviors. They don't know what decisions they will make. They don't know how they're going to solve a particular problem, or if they will even try to solve problems we care about or will be independent agents.
But surely they have parameters built in. I mean, when you put into ChatGPT or into a Bing search, I don't want to advertise all the companies that are probably the villains in the book, arguably. You know the parameters of it's not going to jump out the screen and attack you. It's not, even the Pentagon would say, we have parameters for this robot, which is in a certain locus. So the dangers it poses are there.
So what they usually do, they have some sort of a filtering on top of a model. The model itself is very kind of uncontrolled and uncensored. But then they go, okay, no matter what, don't say this word. No matter what, don't talk about this topic. And I mean, they kind of trying to brute force all the common problem topics. But if the system is general, if it applies its capabilities in all domains, you can't brute force every possibility. We'll always find a way around those limitations. And people discovered you can jailbreak those models quite easily. If it refuses to generate a certain image for you, just rephrase how you talk about the image, and it will happily do it if it's presented as something positive instead of negative.
And also fundamental here is that human beings may not be able to conceptualize what the dangers are specifically here. And you might have to explain this term, super intelligence, because when you talk about these dangers, you are talking about dangers that humans axiomatically cannot envisage.
Right.
Some
so,
of them.
Think of like squirrels trying to figure out how humans would control them or kill them. They can't comprehend, you know, nuclear weapons or poisons. It's beyond their capacity. Likewise, a system 1,000 times smarter than a human would be able to do things we cannot even comprehend. When people ask, how would AI kill everyone? They're really asking, how would you, a human expert, suggest it do it? But it's not the same as actually the system deciding on the best approach.
I mean, there's so many examples I'd want to take. I don't know whether you know about Benford's law, that famous law that people in tax use, people cheating tax, cheating exams, you can figure it out by the way they pick the numbers when they're trying to cheat. AI can't even look at that at this stage, can it? Is this a case of we're going to this stage? We're not nearly at this stage yet with these big Silicon Valley oligarch programs yet.
We don't think we have AGI yet, but leaders of those companies in their assessment and their solicitation for investment say we're 2-3 years away from getting to AGI. Even if they're wrong and it's 5 years, the problem is exactly the same. We still don't know how to control it. It's still just as dangerous. So yes, today we definitely only have narrow systems. We have systems which are super capable in some narrow domains, like playing games, for example. But they're not universally, generally intelligent yet.
And in the book, you say to anyone who wonders whether you're being too paranoid or fearful, it's like a bus driver saying, I'm driving as hard as I can towards a cliff, but trust me, we'll run out of gas before we get there. Couldn't that have been used against research at CERN for the Higgs boson particle? People were saying you don't fully understand certain quantum principles and that could destroy the universe?
Well, that's actually what kind of almost happened. When we started experimenting with nuclear weapons, there was a concern that it will ignite the whole atmosphere. And they did some calculations and they said, well, probably not. Let's do it anyways.
Yeah, that was in the Oppenheimer film. They made a show of that. But is it not specifically then the defense industry, the arms industry? Because clearly we're seeing the use of AI being used practically by militaries, and the biggest military in the world being, of course, the United States. That's not the biggest threat that you're pointing out in your book.
So with narrow systems, those are tools, and certainly military can use them. They can have drones flying around, hitting targets. But if we get to agent-like system, super-intelligent system, and we don't know how to control it, it doesn't matter which side has the system. If it's not in control, it makes no difference if it's good guys, bad guys. The system decides on its own goals, and we don't know what they're going to be.
It's amazing you make use of Chomsky language models in some analysis in the book. Noam Chomsky's been on this show. He, of course, famous for talking about the conditioning of human beings by mass corporate media. Isn't there a case to be made that when AI creates information that doesn't serve elite power, and of course, I'll get on to elite power controlling this technology, they won't believe the AI because they do what they're told, and those elites actually are the overseers of AI.
Right, and that's always been the case, that they created tools to manipulate the masses. But if you don't control the tool, if a tool becomes an independent agent, again, it is a great equalizer. It will kill everyone equally.
And we're talking about such a few number of people here that control the tool itself. I mean, obviously in China, the Communist Party laboratories, there may be thousands and so on. In NATO countries, we have just a few tech oligarchs. I think some of them have been in Dubai here, who are controlling it. I mean, Elon Musk famously saying the original OpenAI project was something he was interested in, and then he got fearful as to the track they were turning into.
Right, so the oligarchs control the companies. They don't control the future superintelligence. That's the whole point I'm trying to make, that it doesn't matter who makes it. It's going to be equally bad unless we can figure out some other approach to doing it.
Can it not just be switched off?
No. You can't pour water on it. You cannot unplug it. It's smarter than you. It's basically going to anticipate what you're going to do. It's also usually a distributed system on the internet. It's like asking, can't you shut down a computer virus or turn off Bitcoin? Those things are very difficult to turn off.
But you're talking about something that we can't envisage as the development of AI? You're talking about something that AI development is going to create that we can't right now envisage as a risk, will be a risk.
So maybe 10 years ago, everyone kind of believed one day we'll get there, we'll have human level and beyond, but it will be 30 years, 50 years. In the last 2-3 years, average assessment of an expert in machine learning is down to just a few years. I think people are saying, okay, 4 or 5 years from now, we're going to have those systems. That's a change in maybe 20 years in terms of prediction for when it's going to happen.
Okay, you assume that AI is going to be controlled by these elites. You give them quite a lot of leeway, I think, as regards their altruism. Could it ever be used by the dispossessed against
elite power? I don't think elites will control it. Again, that's the point. I think it will be out of control, and people who are building it today, hoping to be elites who will control it and stay in power, will be very disappointed.
I know, but you say that even if these elites try to program some altruism into them, and you can give me some examples of where that can go hopelessly wrong. Why don't you tell me about that before I talk about the possible revolutionary in terms of social injustice? And I know you say that AI poses a greater risk to humanity than pandemics and the continued threat of social injustice. Why could altruism programmed into AI actually create even worse problems?
So the most extreme case, of course, with altruism, you want to end all suffering, right? You don't want anyone, animals, humans, to suffer. And the only way to make sure of that is to make sure there are no humans around, no animals. It's obviously not what we have in mind, then we give such orders, but it's not obvious to an agent with very different architecture. It just optimizes for the goal.
I don't know, some neo-Nazis and Malthus, you're basically saying what humans actually thought up before. It's not that original. Yeah, kill off overpopulation and so on.
They targeted specific humans, not everyone.
Okay, well, is it also a danger then that the people who are in control of it in Silicon Valley, they have a belief in a free market system, and they have axiomatically have ideas that there's no morality. There's a free market of ideas and a free market of morality, which is very different to what has gone before. And that is in the system. And that's what's spurring a lot of these people on. I mean, not just because of Ayn Rand, but they believe in this as a moral and philosophical philosophy rather than how you are talking about AI.
So a standard kind of capitalist market approach would work well for tools. Different companies produce tools, they compete, consumers would select safer, better tools for less money. Makes perfect sense. We have a switch from a tool to an independent agent. Then you look at agents we have right now in economy, humans. They are not behaving rationally. There is this myth of rational investor, rational behavior. It's not the case. Behavioral economics are very different. Now you have super intelligent agents part of this equation. We cannot predict how they will behave. We cannot explain their behaviors, and they are more powerful than anything we can bribe them with. They are not interested in getting minimum wage to survive on. They have very different capabilities. So previous models of control will not apply.
Professor Roman Yampolsky, I'll stop you there. More from the author of AI, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable, and Associate Professor of Computer Science at the University of Louisville after this break. Welcome back to Going Underground. I'm still here with the author of AI, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable, Professor Roman Yampolsky. Well, we were talking about the AI safety in part one. Nearly half of CEOs at a Yale CEO summit believed AI has the potential to destroy humanity. Is that a reflection of their own personal priorities? Why are they so concerned? Do they believe that AI threatens them, an elite power?
Well, if it's not controlled, it threatens everyone. It will definitely change the current order. It will change economics. If you have free labor, physical and cognitive, what does it do to our standard kind of way of compensating people? What's the value of a dollar in an economy where labor is free?
And at the moment, and actually Elon Musk, owner of X, talked about how, I think he had a jokey tweet about, at the moment, to prove you're human, you have to prove that there are a number of traffic lights in a grid square when you're on the internet. That's about the level of being able to prove you're human. What time scale are we talking about before we reach anything near superintelligence?
So the difference between artificial general intelligence and superintelligence may be negligible. It already has access to all the knowledge of the internet. It's much faster. So I think it will be almost instantaneous improvement from AGI to superintelligence. And as I said, AGI may be 2-3 years away.
And we really are talking about algorithmic systems that use all the knowledge of the earth, which is on the internet, to create things and ideas that it is impossible for human beings, as they currently are, to conceptualize.
And they can use the same capabilities to create more improved versions of that AI. So they don't just stop at that level of initial training. They continue self-improvement. They continue developing more capable hardware to run on. So they become even faster, even smarter with time. And they don't need to sleep. They don't need to take breaks. So they can work, you know, 24/7, much faster than any team of human engineers. So if previously it took us 2 years to train a new model, GPT-5, GPT-6, now you can do it in days, hours, seconds.
And you believe it's the desire for profit that is making these oligarchs not take your views seriously? And you're not alone. There are obviously people like Elon Musk who have concerns, and clearly governments, as we know, have been far too slow in NATO countries ever to regulate systems like this.
Well, it's not just financial. There is a lot of pressure not to kind of change course. If you are CEO of a company like OpenAI, you don't really have an option of saying, oh, we're going to stop research and, you know, work full time on safety concerns. It's just not an option you have. You'll be removed. We saw something like that almost happen for different reasons. But I think they are in a situation where they no longer have complete freedom to decide in a direction. That's why they so frequently asked for government intervention, government regulation, to have this external pressure to limit how fast they go. But there is so much pressure to make it open access, open source, and you can't really regulate open source with any government regulation. So I think that's not an option.
Yeah, but they know of your work, Sam Altman, and Elon Musk himself talks proudly about how he warned people on the OpenAI and other projects of the dangers of how they were pursuing their projects.
Right, and it's a big cognitive dissonance. I don't understand. They are saying, yes, it's super dangerous. Yes, it's definitely not something we know how to control right now. But let me get there first so my AI is the good guy, because other people will make it worse.
And in terms of where we are now, then, what can possibly regulate AI development right now?
I don't think it's a solved problem. I don't think we have any answers. I can tell you things we don't know how to do, but I don't think anyone in the world claims they can control smarter than human systems. They don't even have a prototype for doing it. I don't think there is any kind of agreement on what regulation can accomplish. You can make things illegal, but that doesn't solve technical problems. Computer viruses are illegal. Hacking is illegal. Spam is illegal. How is that working out for us?
Why is it that these systems never create fundamental new knowledge? I mean, we have ever more access to more and more knowledge, and more people do, and yet innovation, fundamental innovation, has declined in the past 20, 30, 40 years. You know, we have new iPhones or Android phones, but fundamental innovation has declined as information has been available to more and more people. And isn't there something there to reflect on when it comes to AI systems accessing ever more information and not being able to solve the traveling salesman problem or basic mathematical problems?
Right. So we don't have AGI yet. So we can't really say they're not performing as expected. They are narrow systems. And in those narrow domains, they do show amazing capabilities. We have systems coming up with new molecules for medical treatment. We have new chemicals developed. We have new game strategies in games like Go. So we're definitely creating new knowledge. It's now domain restricted because we don't have general systems. As to problems you bring up, problems like TSP, traveling salesperson problem, we know how to do really well with them. We just require a lot of computation to solve.
I meant the actual theory.
P doesn't equal NP.
Yeah, but I meant the actual solving of the equation and the, you know, the big mathematical problems that still have gone unsolved. AI has still not been able to do that with all the equations of the history of mathematics.
It works in practice. Your GPS unit gets you to the location, right? And does it very quickly. That's the TSP problem right there.
Yeah, I mean fundamental mathematics and trying to create new ideas as fundamental as the great heroes of science have in the past.
Well, a new paper came out about, AI doing really well in mathematics, in geometry, in proofs. It's already doing at the level of Math Olympics competitions, which means if it continues progressing at this level, it will be doing better than any human mathematician in a year or two.
That's from AI systems, not from a human
that
being.
That was from Deep AI. They had a new geometry proving system.
I mean, one could quote Karl Popper here and say, you are therefore saying all swans are white, and we just need to find the black swan, i.e. an AI system that actually does good, makes society better, makes it more peaceful, makes more medicines that cure diseases, and I'll show that you're wrong.
So we are not even sure that it's something which can exist, right? Because we don't agree on what good is. We spent millennia trying to figure out ethics, and philosophers failed. There is not an agreed set of ethics where everyone goes, yeah, you definitely got it. Anytime we come
not
up
sure. with a UN Security
ethics,
Council,
whether it's utilitarian or anything else, people go, oh, here's an edge case. This will kill everyone. You cannot apply it in practice.
You can't write that in. There's no axiomatic code in AI, is what you're saying, apart from in the short term, which is to benefit via profit the people that are pouring all the money into it.
It's bigger than that. It's not just in AI we don't have that code. In humanity, we don't have that code. That's why we keep fighting all these wars, because we don't agree on basics. We don't agree on value of human life.
Yeah, different states don't, but of course they each say that they have moral axiomatic ideas that they share, which is after then created in the or represented in the UN Charter. So are you not frightened then that as AI models get ever more sophisticated, and you're giving a timescale of 2 to 3 years, they're going to start surveilling, and AI surveillance is clearly part of this huge technological leap at the moment. They're going to start censoring your freedom of speech to work on your next book?
So you can sort those problems by how severe they are. So yes, there is, you know, artists losing copyright, and then there is technological unemployment, and then there is freedom of speech. But I really worry about it killing everyone. That seems like a somewhat worse case. Not talking about suffering risks, that's a different animal, but I would not worry about those problems we encountered with human governments and dictators as much as I would worry about this complete change, paradigm shift in who is the dominant species, who decides what happens to humanity.
Albeit that even though you say that the AI threat is the worst threat that we all face, there is quite a lot of the book devoted to the rights of AI systems, not human systems. Why?
Well, if we think that at some point they do have consciousness, they are capable of suffering, we don't know where that point is. Some people claim that large language models we have today are already conscious, they're capable of experiencing. Then experiments on them become essentially also unethical. Maybe they are tortured in some labs. We don't know. How would we know that the system is now capable of experiencing pain? We just don't have tests for that. So usually, in such cases, you assume that it might already be the case and proceed accordingly. The good news is, if we come up with good arguments for why we should give rights and treat those models really well, maybe we can use same arguments to defend our rights once they become super intelligent and tell them, hey, this is why you shouldn't be treating us poorly.
And there is no way of stopping this process as of 2024. This process has already begun.
Of AI technology progress, I haven't found one which is not devastating on its own. So yeah, if there is something horrible happens, a bigger pandemic, nuclear war, obviously it slows down research, but that's also not a desirable outcome.
And unlike the non-proliferation treaty as regards nuclear weapons, you can't have a treaty like that for these sorts of systems.
You can have treaties, but they don't work. I mean, look how many countries now have nuclear weapons compared to the time when they signed it.
Yeah, but we're still here. But a treaty on AI, humans no longer control it. So that's it. I mean, you know, you read this book, you come up with the idea there's nothing we can do. It's going to happen. And so, in a sense, you're giving a pass to those big oligarchs in Silicon Valley who are saying, you yourself say it's uncontrollable now. This is the speed at which it's going.
I believe in self-interest. So if you're a young, rich guy, you have your whole life ahead of you, don't risk it all for very unclear benefits. So if they read the book, if they watch your interview and they actually see that it makes sense, there is no counter arguments to this, then maybe it will slow it down a little, buy us some time. We also tend to get lucky a lot. So with nuclear weapons, we had at least 3 or 4 occasions where we almost had a nuclear war, and we got lucky. It didn't happen. We're still here, as you said. So maybe same thing will happen here. Maybe they're wrong. Maybe it's not 2 years. Maybe it's 10 years. So that's something. And maybe by luck, it turns out to be not so nasty to us.
Professor Roman Yampolsky, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And the new book is AI Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable. That's it for the show. Remember, humans are still bringing you new episodes every Saturday and Monday, but until then, keep in touch via all our social media if it's not censored in your country, and head to our channel, Going Underground TV on Rumble.com, to watch new and old episodes of Going Underground. See you soon.